Natural Resources Subcommittee for Thursday, July 8th. Today we have five bills on the agenda. Today we're going to open a public hearing and possible work session on 2162. All right, we're going to actually, Mr. Rocco informed me that we're going to do these other ones first, which is House Bill 3225 relating to the management of natural resources. This is a continuation of a work session we started yesterday. Open the work session. Thank you. Sirocco, we have some changes and an amendment that we need to consider when you brief the committee.
Mr. Chair, on House Bill 3225, we've distributed the -824 amendment. These are identical to the -820s that the committee considered earlier, except for two changes. On the first page, lines of the amendments, lines 7 through 12, are adding another category of capital expenditure. This is for personal property of a non-expendable nature, including items that are not consumed in the normal course of operations, can normally be used more than once, have a useful life of more than 2 years, and are for use in the enforcement of fish and wildlife and habitat protection laws and regulations. The purpose for this is to clarify that state police vehicles are an eligible expense under the capital expenditure definition. The reason for this clarification is that when we budget for state police activities, it includes personal services and services and supplies, which are travel expenses, paper, pencils, meeting costs, those things. And those are all considered operating expenses under the definitions of Measure 56. However, we also, as a capital outlay, fund state police vehicles because a state police officer needs a vehicle. And for that reason, we have included this language to clarify that state police vehicles are a capital expenditure according to the state of Oregon accounting manual and for definition under Measure 66. The other change is on the last page of the amendment, line 17, deletes lines 30 through 34 of the bill. These are the lines in the bill that would have blanks for allocations of the Measure 66 lottery funds, and those allocations are now going to be done in Senate Bill 5549, so that section is no longer needed.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Let's go to the budget notes and the changes that we have in the LFO recommendations, and we'll move to the amendments after we've considered the budget notes.
To review for the subcommittee on Senate Bill 5549, there is a memo and a spreadsheet passed out to committee members. This is a repetition of what was provided to the committee yesterday, except for a few adjustments. We made corrections to some of the omissions on the initial memo, including the support for soil and water conservation districts on the first page of $2.4 million that was left out earlier. There's a reduction of federal funds limitation proposed for OLEB to $1.5 million from the $2 million earlier proposed based on more detailed look at what the GWEB has collected for the 1997-99 biennium. And then under budget notes, item 6 on page 3, the first budget note is the same as the committee saw yesterday. There's an additional budget note on page 4, item B, that directs OWEB to report on a quarterly basis to the joint legislative committee created under ORS 171.551, which is the last session with the salmon committee, and currently it's the Stream Restoration Species Recovery Committee. And it describes what the nature of these reports are to be, including an update on the agency activities, the status of projects approved for funding, and a financial report on expenditures and revenues in the three funds that have been created in House Bill 3225. Budget note under item C directs OWEB to set aside $4 million for fish screen and fish bypass devices for a program, the existing program administered by the Department of Fish and Wildlife, with some additional language to direct the department on how these funds are to be used. The budget note on item D discusses the subcommittee's interest in ensuring that OWEB provides projects to all areas of the state to the greatest extent possible so that the money in the grant fund is provided to throughout the entire state and not isolated to one particular area. Budget note under item E is encouraging soil and water conservation districts to apply for grants for a cost share program, projects involving local watershed councils in order to generate cooperative activity between those entities. There's a description of what the projects are designed to accomplish and a direction that OWEB look into developing a county-based cost share program to be established in the 2001 biennium using revenue from the Watershed Improvement Grant Fund. And finally, under F, there is a budget note directing that the highest priority be given to funding for the Seneca Lakes and the Reservoirs at Portland State and for aquatic weed research and to the Natural Heritage Advisory Council for development of a centralized information database using revenues that will accrue to the Restoration and Protection Research Fund. And it is our expectation that based on the reports that the OWEB will make to the emergency board to provide information on the amount of revenue accruing to that fund, that those funds could be allocated sometime before the end of the first fiscal year of the biennium.
Mr. Chair. Question, Mr. Metro.
Mr. What kind of funds are we expecting to
use? Mr. Chair, Lieutenant Messerly, we're anticipating approximately $1 million, I would think, to accrue over the course of the entire biennium.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Thank
you. What I was referring to was the needs of Portland State and the needs of the Natural Heritage Advisory. Because you're really talking about one half the biennium, 1 year, if by the time the funds accrue.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the fiscal impact on the Senate Bill 128, which would establish the Center for Lakes and Reservoirs at Portland State, was estimated at about $300,000 for the biennium. So with a delayed start, it would be less than that. And the Natural Heritage Advisory Council packages to develop the database was $466,000.
Further questions? Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps this question is staff with regard to the budget notes. I don't see anything in here or perhaps I just skipped over it with regard to the fish screen projects size limitation, and is that an indication that the under 30s and over 30s are to be treated equally?
Mr. Chair, Representative Westland, I was provided information that the existing cost share program in the Department of Fish and Wildlife was for under 30 CFS programs, which this budget note is referring to those.
Which one, C?
Yes.
But that is not delineated in here, and I think there's a case to be made for over 30s as well.
That's only July 9th.
the larger scale projects. There's nothing in here that precludes the larger scale projects, and any of those fish screening issues could be dealt with on a case-by-case basis by application to the OWEB board in conjunction with a an entity, not a state agency. So there's nothing that precludes them from applying for and receiving consideration for cost share. And there's a couple of different references in various budget notes to encouraging cost share. So although we haven't specified whether they're small or large projects, if the note specific to the net benefit to fish under a program administered by Department of Fish and Wildlife, and that is the under 30 CFS, I would think that that would be fairly specific direction to the OWEB board for those smaller projects. However, I don't think there's anything that would preclude cost share for the over 30 CFS projects if done in connection with a watershed council, so a water conservation district, or other than a state agency.
That's my question, Mr. Chair, is the over 30s would be eligible for a portion of this $4 million?
You'd have to make a specific note that indicates that.
Mr. Wilson, if that's the desire of the committee, that budget note could be adjusted to include those, to make that clear that those over 30 CFS projects would be eligible for under this budget note.
Representative Eschler.
Mr. Chair, also in relation to item C, it's my understanding that the department essentially put more funds out there without the staffing to build these screens and to install these screens. It's not going to be much good. Would this budget note allow for those, some of those funds to be used for establishing and building screens?
The budget note is specific to a set-aside for watershed improvement grants for cost share. And we're talking about the devices themselves, but it's also screens for installation, for maintenance of these bypass devices with the local watersheds and the Clark Conservation District. So I think it does include the cost of installation, maintenance, and other associated expenditures.
Mr. I wasn't aware until this morning that the Department of DSW literally builds those and installs them themselves.
They do.
I think that's why they need a very clear indication that they can put on more staff if we increase the funding for this.
As a matter of fact, they build them in John Day. Fortunately,
three or four shops in those.
Very interesting.
Could we have the department?
We can, if you wish. Is there a representative available from the Department of Fish and Wildlife?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'd just like to point out, however, that any expenses under this would have to abide by the capital expenditures definition. So any staff would have to be tied directly to
projects,
to a single project, and could not be used in general just to do fish screening activity work.
I don't think you could use these dollars to hire staff at the agency to build fish screens. Kirk.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Roy Elker. I'm the program manager for Fish Screening and Passage Program, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I'm here to address any questions. I was following up to your question, Representative Mezzoli, and your comment, Mr. Rocco. If we cannot hire or put on additional staff to implement these additional program funds, we will really not be able to implement and get this money on the ground. As you know, Mr. Chairman, as you've been to our John Day shop, a lot of work goes into the sum of the fish screening we do. Over half of the screens we get in the ground are contracted, private contractors, because those are primarily pump screens. And those are ones that go on the end of a pipe out in the river. But on all the rotary dish screens or other designs we use, they're more complex. And they take some trained personnel to go out and meet with landowners, talk to them about what design is best for them, and get it installed and implemented. And so if the money can only be used on a per project basis, I think it'd be very difficult for the department to move ahead and able to use these funds to really expand the program and get the job done.
How many people are currently involved in making fish screens throughout the department?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this budget note is referring to the state program, and in the state fish screening program, sir, there are only 3 technicians, maybe 1.5 coordinators and a half-time manager. It's very small. The shop you refer to, sir, is primarily funded by federal Mitchell Act funds. Now, that shop in John Day also builds state fish screens, and that cost is kind of passed on to the state. It's very good to have that kind of state-of-the-art shop in John Day. It allows us to utilize kind of the federal funds that built that building and paid the technician, allows the state to kind of piggyback in there and get to use that expertise. But as far as on the ground, we really only have 3 field technicians to work throughout the area. And again, let me back up a second. The federal Mitchell Act program for state fish screening applies only to anadromous fish areas of the Columbia Basin. So all the other areas, the South Coast, the Rogue Basin, Douglas County, all the other areas of the state, Far Eastern Oregon, Baker County, all that's within the state program. And the state program only has 3 technicians to work on the ground.
Is it possible for a private entity to contract with the Department of Fish and Wildlife for the construction and installation of the screen, fish screen?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it is possible, and many times we give landowners the option that if they wish to hire their own local contractor, we'll provide some simple designs and allow it to go forward. The problem gets to be is that, especially in the cost share program under 30, that's a voluntary program, so it's hard for us to, what most contractors like to do is have a number of screens you're going to build or a number of installations so they have a block of time and can hire the right people. It's pretty hard to do that a lot of times. That's why it's hard to contract out. We have contracted out, and at times, sir, we also contract out, for instance, portions of fish screens, the fabrication of the metal components. We have contracted that out before. But when you get to this site-by-site basis, every site is different, and every landowner has different demands. And so we're really much better with trained personnel to go talk to landowners, meet with them, be specific to what they need, and that kind of expertise doesn't allow a good use of private contractors. They're going to get the job done and get out.
My question was related to the use of the agency personnel by a private individual or a watershed council. Can a watershed council, for instance, come to the Department of Fish and Wildlife and hire the department for the construction and installation of a fish screen?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we work with the watershed councils all around the state quite frequently on that basis, where they might work with landowners identifying places that need a new fish screen or something that needs, you know, like they have a very old one there, they need a new one constructed. And we'll work with the Watershed Council. And there have been situations where the Watershed Council got the GWEB grant, and we worked together with that Watershed Council and got a new fish screen in place. So we work with them all the time. And I don't know if they hire us. I don't think that's the right word, Mr. Chairman, but we work together, and in the end, they make sure that we get the funds we need to build the screen and get it on the ground.
I'm going to suggest that you just described a project, and I think that we have the capability to pay for a project, and those screens would fit the definition of a capital improvement quite nicely. I'm going to suggest to you that the $4 million to be used for grants for the installation, maintenance, and construction of those screens. And I don't see that there'd be any need for additional troops as long as the agency has the capability to do what they're doing already. So I'm going to, I guess, take a different view or differ slightly. I don't think we need to hire a whole bunch of people to implement this $4 million opportunity. This is specifically to create fish screens for installation and the cost share program. So,
may I make one remark, Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely.
Right now, by statute, the department is responsible to get in 150 fish screens per biennium, 75 a year. It's in the statute. Right now, with the people we have on the ground in the state program, we are making that quota, so to speak, but barely. I mean, it's nip and tuck towards the end of the biennium to make sure the 150 get installed. Again, without some additional staff, the work at councils can come to us and request, you know, based on this money, more and more fish screens be installed here, but we won't be able to do that without additional staff.
That is a frequent comment that we hear. You have only 3 people in the state, and they're doing 150 fish screens per annum. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Because of the 150, probably 80 or 90 of those are pump screen installations, which we contract out to most of the irrigation supply houses.
Questions from the committee?
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Just a comment in regards to which Rockwood didn't mention budget until 6, which makes you the monies that, for instance, in this case, that would be implemented under ballot measure 66 to make sure that they'll justify that under the law and under the Constitution that's arrived at ballot measure 66. And there's undoubtedly marginal situations that we're going to run into. We hope that they can do that under ballot measure 66. Lord knows we hope so, but we freed up $43 million that we hope for example. These types of programs throughout the state. So it just makes sense to me that it is going to be a difficult situation, but remember, in the next biennium, you get another 43 million into this problem. This isn't a one-shot deal. This goes on forever as long as lottery funds stay at the level we're at. So I think that we're trying to do all things in one session. It's going to be a continuum of the process and to see what works and what doesn't work.
The alternative would be for us to allocate far less dollars to fish screening and more to personnel. And I don't think that's what was intended to be. Other questions on this budget note or clarifications, Rocco?
Mr. Eric, just like to point out that under the capital expenditure definition, the bill, House Bill 3225, says capital expenditures means direct expenses related to, and then subsection C, development, construction, or implementation of a project, and item D, technical support directly related to the implementation of a project. So as long as the agency is using people directly related to a project, they can use the money of this $4 million for staff costs directly related to a project.
Further questions? First time that's
right. Sure, good comment. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. If we try to micromanage this thing down to the details, I think it is related to the project. It's building the equipment for the project, they're installing the project.
I would hope that whoever from the outside or whoever's looking at this would acknowledge that.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions on budget notes? Yes, sir, Representative Leffler.
Just getting back to budget note C, I was going to propose an amendment, but if it's the understanding of the committee, understanding of staff, as well as on the record, that this budget note does not preclude or prohibit projects of over 30 CFS from applying and being granted funds, then I don't think we need to go an amendment route.
Mr. Rocker, when you write up the transmittal letter, please make a note that this was part of the discussion and that it was the committee's intention that no project either over or under 30 CFS was precluded in this budget.
I can do that, Mr. Chair.
The other additions to the budget notes, I think, are clear. They're indicate cost share program to encourage cost sharing between counties, the state, OWEB, the Saltwater Conservation District, and Watershed Council. The other budget notes, especially C, really focuses on the net benefit to fish. And I think those are fairly self-explanatory. Any other questions on budget note additions, corrections, or clarifications? Representative King.
MF, the funds that go into the Restoration Protection Research Fund,
I know it's in the bill, but I'm not going to be able to find this section quick enough.
Funds that go into that, those are capital expenditure funds. Is that true or is not true?
Mr. Chair, Representative King, the funds that go, the monies that go into the Restoration and Protection Research Fund are interest earnings off of the lottery dollars and have no tie to either operating or capital expenditure. They can be used for any purpose eligible under Measure 66.
Thank you.
Further questions? Hearing none, we are in work session. Colleagues, we need a motion to amend House Bill 3225 with an A24, dash A24 amendment. Representative Westmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to amend House Bill 3225 with the dash 24s into the bill.
Okay, and there's some discussion that we are deleting the specific allocations that were contained in the original bill that appeared on lines 30-34, and we're also clarifying the definition of capital expenditure to include personal property that would not be consumed over a course of that would last, that non-expendable nature, durable, useful life of years, et cetera. Sounds like a postcard name. Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none. Any objections to the amendment? We have an objection from Senator Murphy. Any further objections?
I'm objecting to the whole damn thing. That's right. I'm very
objecting to the whole damn thing. Then we will call the roll.
Don't get any closer to me. Don't get any closer. No.
Got a hostage.
How does this strategy work?
You don't lock the door on me. I didn't get that last one.
Staying. I'm not leaving my cage till 10 o'clock. I'm staying.
It'll
be measured 63 by the time we get out of here.
Don't forget each other. Go sit on the floor here this morning.
Yeah, we should have volunteers in the audience. They'd like to vote. That's all. Not a bad idea. We should give them those little electronic things.
Like on Sonic videos?
Yeah. You hooked your chair.
Yeah. Johnny, my friend.
Hey,
how are you, friend?
How are you?
You look kind of ill.
What?
Never looked well.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing. Nice eye.
Oh, glare. Yeah, you powdered that.
Here you go, Wes, when you made the Weekly Democrat.
You're just
day.
A white advertisement. This is like getting my cover on a picture of the Rolling Stone.
Getting my cover on
the picture of
the Rolling Stone. This is like trying to complete sentences. Getting my cover on a picture of Rolling Stone. What the hell are you talking about?
You're older than the 60s. You're in the
60s. Isn't that a song?
Yeah. Yeah, who was that? Making Rhythm Maces?
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, this is what's wrong.
Oh, hello. Nice. Right. Happy to join us. Yeah, good morning. Just 5 of them.
Shut up.
Boy.
Yeah. Downcasting.
What was that? He's downcasting something.
Yeah. We are back in work session. We have a motion on the floor to adopt the 8.4 amendment, staff bill 3225. Mr. Rocco, will you call the roll?
Christian Westman?
Aye.
Christian Jensen?
Aye.
Christian Messerly?
Aye.
Christian King?
Aye.
Senator Turner?
Aye.
Senator Chin?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Nope.
Senator Corcoran?
No.
Senator Ellie?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion passes. We need a motion to move House Bill 3225 as amended to the floor with a passed recommendation. Representative Westman.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill, what are we at? House Bill 3225 as amended to the full committee with a passed recommendation.
Motion understood. Questions on the motion? Hearing none, we will call the roll.
Representative Westman.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Representative Messerly.
Aye.
Representative King.
Yeah.
Senator Turner.
Aye.
Senator Chin. Senator Metzger.
Oh.
Senator Corcoran.
Aye. Oh.
Chair Farrell.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Can Senator Chin vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Senator. Motion passes. Motion passes with the order. Chair will carry the full ways and means. We need a House carrier and a Senate carrier.
I'd be happy to carry it for you.
Definitely to carry
it. Save me a speech.
Senator Corkscrew will not carry on the Senate floor. Senator Farrell will carry on the Senate floor.
He's under 10 minutes.
And that concludes the work session on 3225. Open a work session on Senate Bill 5549. Mr. Rocco, will you orient the committee to the
Senate? Mr. Chair, amendments to Senate Bill 5549 are outlined in the memo that we just went over regarding where we had the discussion on the budget notes and reviewed yesterday. In addition, we needed to make some changes to the language in Senate Bill 5549 to accommodate the changes in the state police budget bill language to include lottery fund limitations for the Department of Forestry, to add the Department of Forestry's other funds limitations for harvest tax revenues to accompany the steelhead supplement package, and then add language to OWEB to provide OWEB direction in case lottery revenue shortfalls materialize. And the total amount allocated to GWEB is was provided yesterday in the memo, and the distribution to other agencies is outlined under operational expenses on pages 1 and 2 of the memo dated July 8th that I provided to the committee to look.
Questions? And we have a additional proposed change to Senate Bill 5549 in Chiraco. Where did that come from, and who did you offer that?
I have not seen it.
Do you remember the committee that proposes a change to Senate Bill 5549 have a memo?
Not sure what you're referring to.
Documents that might be in your packet.
Even the Republicans didn't get it. It must not be real.
Must not be real. I think this was the budget note that, that was discussed by Representative Cruz.
I think that refers to the budget note number E on page 4, a different version of that, where an actual allocation of dollars would be made instead of the proposed budget vote by legislative fiscal that would just encourage districts to apply to OWEB for grant funds, cost share grants from the projects in cooperation with local watershed council.
And that budget note was specific to House Bill 3325?
No, Mr. Chair, actually it's to Senate Bill 5540.
Okay. So the E would have accomplished the same goal without a direct allocation.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
We'll get that with our representative Cruz when we see him. Any questions on the on Senate Bill 5549 before we take action on that. We went through the allocations yesterday in the public hearing. If you have no questions, we'll accept the motion to move Senate Bill 5549. Congressman
Rutherford. Mr. Chair, thank you. I move Senate Bill 5549 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Questions on the motion? We have amendments. Yeah, let's do the amendments. There's a conceptual amendment.
Mr. Chair, the amendments would be the length to fill in the blanks. Basically, Senate Bill 5549 at this time is a blank appropriation bill, and language is being drafted to incorporate all of the allocations that you see in this in the memo and the additional language that we discussed, the need to change Senate Bill 5549 to include limitations for other agencies.
Representative Westland, your motion, I'll restate your motion, which is to incorporate LFO recommendations as discussed into Senate Bill 5549 as a conceptual amendment.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair.
Everybody understand the motion? Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we will call the roll.
Representative Westland.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Representative Nussle.
Aye.
Representative King.
Aye.
Senator Turner.
Aye.
Senator King.
Aye.
Senator Metzger.
No.
Senator Corkery.
No.
Chair Farrelly.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Motion passes. So we have an amended, conceptually amendments are annexed to Senate Bill 5549, meeting and motion to move Senate Bill 5549 as amended. Representative Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 5549 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Questions on the motion? Hearing and seeing none, we'll call the roll.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Representative Nestle.
Aye.
Representative King.
Aye.
Senator Turner.
Aye.
Senator Kim.
Aye.
Senator Metzger.
No.
Senator Cochran.
No.
Chair Pirelli.
Aye.
Motion passed.
Motion passes. Chair will carry the full ways and means, and on the Senate floor, we need a carry on the House floor. Representative Jensen will carry on the House floor. Thank you. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 5549, but before we do, I want to address a couple of the issues that came before us yesterday as questions that we tried to resolve yesterday. This building was abuzz with different hallway meetings. And relative to the expenditure for capital improvement that includes, in this case, a specific definition that would fit the a need for outfitting the law enforcement officers that are specifically related to wildlife protection or fish protection with police cars. That issue has been discussed with the Department of Justice representatives, with legal counsel. We went through several permutations of definitions and tried to get clarifications, tried to work through that definition. What we have is the best and most specific that we can do. It does fit the normal and customary definitions of capital investment. It will, we're advised, withstand any legal challenge. Department of Justice assures us that the definition that we've adopted in the statute will be legally sufficient. Under any circumstance, the legislative fiscal office worked very hard to try and find a mechanism that we could use other than the one that we did. We looked at several different alternatives, and what we've done is applied the normal and customary definition of capital expenditure to this expenditure, which we are assured is legal under Measure 66. And we tried to find additional resources to fund the Oregon National Heritage Program. And what we ended up doing was utilizing the additional revenue that will be derived from interest earnings in order to pay for that program. The arguments that we should deal with the issue of the Oregon Heritage Program, Oregon Natural Heritage Program, were compelling. The problem is that at this late date, finding an additional $477,000 is a bit beyond the capability of the co-chairs and the chairman of the committee. We did allocate the resources. Although we will not be doing the allocation until the middle part of the biennium. At least it is a mechanism that fully funds the Oregon Natural Heritage Program, which was considered to be a key component of the Oregon plan. So we hope people regard this solution as being a pragmatic and creative solution. Representative King?
Mr. Chair, I appreciate you doing that. I was concerned about that yesterday, as you know, and that seemed like a good way to approach it at this point.
Thank you, I appreciate the comment. The issue of backfill has been one that's very troublesome. It's been troublesome throughout this legislative session. I would have liked to have been able to allocate more discretionary dollars in administration. I think it's one of those things that will somewhat constrain the activities of the new OWEB board. My hope is that they will be able to work through those constraints and still deliver the Oregon plan as we intended to be delivered. We'll look hard to the next biennium to make sure that there are more options for OWEB in the administrative sections. We hope that folks understand that in this transition period between the old Oregon plan and the new creation of a state agency to manage the OWEB process and the Oregon plan, that there had to be some allocations of resources since there was no transition language contained in Measure 66 and no clear direction for how we should get from the Oregon plan to the new permutation of the Oregon plan. Backfill will obviously be a problem for some people. We've had many heated discussions and some philosophical discussions. Proponents have argued that the more militant members of their coalition may bring litigation, we would argue that bringing litigation against the enactments that we've made in these two, the House Bill 3225 and Senate Bill 5549, will be a problem, not only because it will impede the progress of implementation of the Oregon Plan, but a prudent and wise course under a threat of litigation or actual litigation would be to delay or perhaps preclude expenditures of any of the dollars that we've allocated pending resolution of a lawsuit. So it would be the intention of at least the subcommittee chair to communicate directly with the OWEB board and the director, whoever that happens to be, that in the event of a lawsuit, we would be in jeopardy to expend any dollars that may have to be redirected or refunded under a lawsuit if that lawsuit goes against the state of Oregon. So I would suggest that any litigation would impede the progress of implementation of the Oregon plan.
Sure. Well, you raised two-edged sword. Despite the actions of the leadership that you provoked the lawsuit, then, you know, it gets into this endless struggle that we tend to have in the state in terms of the feds intervening. And, you know, my overarching concern in this is that with the water and air quality issues and the fish issues, that we are, in fact, sending a double message to the feds. And, you know, the same people that complain about federal intervention are pushing, you know, sort of poking a stick in the eye of the feds and then saying it may end up in lawsuits. And, by the way, if it ends up in lawsuits, we're going to withhold your funding. It just creates this conundrum that is really unhealthy. And, you know, I don't want federal intervention. I don't think anybody does. And I just, I'm a little disappointed. You know, I had this discussion with some people last night. It seemed like this session could have been the one where, with the second iteration of the salmon plan, that we really moved forward. Representative Messerly and I were talking with an interviewer from the Ford Foundation last week and talking about how the Oregon plan is actually being held up now as a model for government action. And I'm just very concerned that the actions of this particular body are moving us in an opposite direction.
Thank you for your observations, Senator. Anybody else wish to make observations? If not, the chair will continue. Senator Corcoran, I agree this could have been the session where we actually held up this Oregon plan is the bipartisan issue. I think this committee, until this vote, has been unanimous on every action that we've taken relative to Senate Bill, House Bill 3225. Our Salmon Committee also was unanimous, and I expect that the differences in how we ended up implementing the administration dollars were the ones that have caused the most disconnect. I'll point out that we are still within $6 million of the allocations that the governor's budget proposed for that bill, that, again, there's no transition language connected with Measure 66 to take us from where we are to where we have to be. This is a brand-new program. I will reiterate, there seemed to be no sense to me to eliminate jobs and positions and functions that were created under the Oregon plan because somebody decided to call that backfill and then move them over to another agency after having eliminated them out of budgets and then reinstate them with direct allocation. I'll also point out that we took great pains not to eliminate opportunity for the OREB board. There's more than $26 million that will be available for direct allocation by the OREB board, and rather than make direct allocations in almost every case where we wanted to make a direction to the OREB board, we used the relatively benign and less intrusive mechanism of a budget note rather than a specific allocation in the legislation. I think that overall there is no arguing that there is more money available, more tools available, more of every asset available to do the habitat management for aquatic and terrestrial habitats than there's ever been in the history of the state of Oregon. That is what was intended by Measure 66. That is what we've done. People will argue that we didn't do it the way they thought we ought to do it. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, and certainly Monday morning after the legislative session, after everything has been said and done, probably much more will be said than we are able to do. That notwithstanding, I think this is an extraordinary move forward for the protection of fish and wildlife in the state of Oregon. It's an extraordinary investment that the citizens of the state of Oregon are making. We've tried to do our best to implement what Senator Corcoran is fond of calling the will of the people. We can argue that we could have done a better job, but the most important thing is that we moved down the road, which is Senate Bill 5549 and House Bill 3225, and do the implementation. Representative King.
I'd like to point out that I think that there are some mistakes in this bill, but I also want to point out that the person who has put a lot of hearing time in on this, and I think that 3225, the bill, itself and the structure, came out is, I think, a good product. And I think in the budget process, we missed some targets of that, but that within the funding, there's some areas that had some significant disagreements. There's a lot of good stuff in there as well. So.
Again, something, I thank you for your comments. There is a lot of good stuff here. I think the most important thing now, instead of wrangling about how the decisions were made, perhaps we've got to roll up our sleeves and go to work on the landscape. If there's no other comments, Representative Johnson.
Sure. Thank you. I would just hope that some of our colleagues between now and when this comes to vote in their particular chamber will have had an opportunity to look more carefully and more closely at what we've done and consider what some of the other options would do. And I would like to see this come out of both chambers with as good a vote as we had 2 years ago on the original Oregon plan. And I recognize that when we start dividing up dollars, that there's always going to be some disagreement on. And if it's in American society, that probably is fortunate. Otherwise, there would only be one model of cars, and there would only be one. And that disagreement is normal, but I think we need to look overall at the end product. Is it perfect? Of course not. But I think it's a good product that we have, and I think it will serve the people of the state of Oregon well. And I concur with your statements and hope that our friends will have other views before the appropriate time to vote on it.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Any other comments? The other last comment is that we put our legislative fiscal staff and legislative council and other support staff to literal hell on this bill, and I appreciate all of the efforts of every person in the bill who worked hard to clarify these issues. Now we need to move on to the public hearing cost of work session on three other bills. I'm going to open the public hearing work session on House Bill 2162. We have Adrian Sexton. Hello, Adrian. How are you today? And actually, there's some folks here who want to offer public testimony on House Bill 2162, so we will call Burns. Anyone else who wishes to accompany him? And what we'll do while Mr. Grinch is coming forward is have an overview of this bill, House Bill 2162.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And members of the committee, I will make a brief since you've got folks here who know far more about this bill than I. But for your information, the material in front of you is a copy of the staff measure summary from the Senate Committee on Rules and Elections, from which committee you received this bill. It is the B and Grove House Bill 2162. We also have a fiscal impact statement which describes the subject of the bill having to do with setting up a procedure for decommissioning hydroelectric projects which are no longer producing power and establishing a variety of fees and providing authority to water or extending the authority of Water Resources Department to impose civil penalties for violation of water rights for hydroelectric purposes. The bill does affect three different agencies, and the impact statement does reflect that the expenditure of revenues and positions that are necessary for implementation of the measure are included in the governor's recommended budget. So there's no budget action necessary by the Ways and Means Subcommittee here. It does increase hydroelectric fee revenues collected by Water Resources Department, and then the Water Resources Department will transfer portions of those funds to Department of Environmental Quality and Department of Fish and Wildlife to cover part of the cost. And Water Resources Department would retain a portion of the fees for administrative costs and increase its staff by one position and a half FTE in the 2001-2003 biennium.
I see that we have the result of the Senate vote, but I guess the House bill, and I was wondering if there's anything that shows the vote that occurred in the House in the chamber committee.
Ma'am?
Chair and Representative King, I don't have that information in front of me. I will look for it.
All right. I think that Representative Messler just handed it to me, and it looks like it was on.
The extraordinarily organized Representative Messler has provided the information for something impressive.
Thank you.
Let us have the public testimony. Who would like to go first? There's deferential gestures going on for the record.
Grandmother's game.
Take a look here again. You are the rose between the thorns, ma'am. You have to go.
And the only grandmother at the table.
No, he told me I'd never mind.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Marcia Tagle, Water Resources Department, with me at the table is Chris Bent, an attorney in private practice who represents Idaho Power in this matter, and Dick Bailey, who is a division administrator with our department. I know that you have a lot to cover, so I won't go into detail on the substance of this measure unless you would like me to. I'll give you a general overview that it deals with the state process for reauthorizing existing hydroelectric projects. This is an issue that the legislature has dealt with for the past three sessions, a continuing consensus process that we've been leading to try to bring to you legislation that is very complicated, but helps set some a structure for the state to participate fully in the federal process and for the state to carry out its own process for reauthorizing these projects and ultimately issuing water rights. That's why our department has the lead in the process. The bill does have full consensus of a work group that included broad representation of the utilities and private interests and environmental groups and state agencies. And it matters before you in Ways and Means because it includes a fee structure for both annual fees and for reauthorization process that the applicants pay for. And Dick or Chris can go into more detail if you'd like, or I'll stop there and take your questions.
Okay, well, I think because our deliberations are specific to the fee structure and the limitations, that we could confine our remarks to that issue and go forward from there.
Okay. Mr. Chair, let me ask you, if you'd like an explanation of the fee structure other than what you have in front of you?
Briefly.
All right, sure. Can I ask one question? I apologize. I did not regard the fee, but I could just give it 30 seconds. As I was reviewing this bill last night this morning, and the concern we've all had for Senate Bill 93 and other finding other water for other uses in the state of Oregon, it really popped out at me that why are we converting all of these water rights to upstream? Shouldn't we be holding just a portion of those water rights back for future development or for future other uses?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nestle, this bill contains a provision that if a project is ultimately decommissioned, which will be a fairly small number of projects, then there's a process for converting the water right to in-stream. A key reason for doing that is that these are non-consumptive hydroelectric projects, and you have whole systems of water use that are built around that existing non-consumptive use. The in-stream use is similarly non-consumptive. It, if this water were simply made available for reallocation, if that were a new water right, it would be junior to others and you could avoid injury, but this is a way to maintain the current, the status quo, actually, on the system of those who are both above and below and have relied on the water passing through in a certain way. The in-stream actually maintains the status quo and was recommended by our group.
And, Ms. Tegel, just for the record, non-consumptive uses would include hydroelectric generation, mitigation, fisheries maintenance. Are there any other non-consumptives that you could list?
Mr. Chair, there could be a number of types of non-consumptive, but what we're talking about is that when the water is temporarily withdrawn from the stream, then it's almost immediately placed into the stream, and there's not a loss of actual water available for other uses.
Senator Mester.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, apologies. This isn't with the fee, but this is new in the relation to Marmot Dam, and I'm curious as to what effect, as you know, there's a lot of discussion since Marmot is going to be, just recently announced, it's going to be removed in the next 2 years, and concerns about even the potential of maintaining Roswell Lake, which is fed from the water of that facility. What effect would this bill have on any negotiations to consider any flows maintained to the Roswell Lake area?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, under this measure, if other provisions aren't made in the very near future, 5 years from the time that the project is ultimately decommissioned by CGE, the owner of the dam, this would allow for the conversion of that existing water right to an in-stream right. But even without the bill, the owner of the license right now, the water right now, could accomplish a transfer to a similar non-consumptive use, like the in-stream use. They could do that voluntarily under existing transfer procedures. This bill would give a process that would come into play if they didn't make other provisions for that kind of a transfer.
I'm sorry if I didn't totally understand that. Does that preclude then or not preclude the possibility of still diverting some of that water from the Sandy River to the Roswell Lake area?
Mr. Chair, Senator Mester, the bill, if nothing were done by the parties involved, under the bill, 5 years after the decommissioning, the existing water right would go to an in-stream right, and that would, I'm guessing, because I don't have all of the facts on how the system works, but that could preclude the use for feeding Roslyn Lake if the parties will have in their power to make other arrangements prior to that time.
And that would conversion be affected by non-use?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any further questions? There was a question regarding a possible amendment regarding the doctrine of estoppel, but it seems that the amendment disappears. Does anybody want to address that?
Mr. Chair, I'm Mr. Singh, my name is Cliff Vance, I'm an attorney from Ontario, representing Idaho Power. The issue, I believe, was to, the proposal was to remove two words from the Section 29, which is the so-called estoppel amendment. The proposal was, I think, made by legislative counsel, and they're not here, I don't think. Maybe they are. It was not our proposal. We opposed the removal of the words, which I believe are drafting and enactment. And my reason for being here this morning was to respond to any such amendment and argue strenuously against it. Absent of the proposed amendment, I won't take the committee's time to address why the amendment shouldn't be adopted.
Apparently your arguments have been sufficiently strenuous.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? If not, we'll call Jan Lee.
I'm Jan Lee, Executive Director with Oregon Water Resources Congress. I just wanted to go on the record to say that the agriculture community worked with the department to generate appropriate language for the in-stream water right transfer that appears in this bill. Thank you.
So there's a, you have waived a blessing over the bill.
Yes,
as well. Sir. Any questions for Jan Lee? Hearing none, we seem to be short one or more representatives, otherwise we would go to work session on this. Are they having hallway conversations?
Well, he's somebody in the looking for a short representative. Metzl is not very tall. Why don't you just leave me alone? Why don't you get a real job, just back off, leave me alone?
When's that gun bill coming
out? No, that gun bill is floating out there on the horizon somewhere.
Like the new Carissa.
Yeah, part of it. I don't want to know that.
Is there any other person here present that wishes to offer testimony on council point? I think it's true. So just come forward and be recognized. If not, we're closing the public hearing.
Oh,
so we'll be closed. My session on House Bill 2162 is open. Colleagues, all we need to do in this particular instance, which we're not amending the bill in any way, is simply vote to move it to full ways and means. Webster Westland.
Hey. Going up for something?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I move House Bill 2162 to the full committee with a two-pass recommendation.
Any questions on the motion? Any objections to the motion? An objection?
Well, I'm not objecting, Mr. Chair, but I am objecting to the behavior of the House members who think that they can ignore the substantive part of these discussions and then just come in and do the fun part, which is voting.
I
just want to raise that objection.
Senator Corbin, your objection was so noted. However, this committee is not to consider substantive issues, but fiscal issues. Thank you, Senator.
Okay, Corbin. Substantive fiscal issues.
Representative Morgan, did you have a comment in answer to Senator Corbin's comment?
Yes. That there are some members of this committee on the House side that have sat through rather substantial testimony on this bill already in other committees.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Westland,
I can always do
that. We have a motion on the floor.
We have a motion on the floor.
Is there any objections to the motion? Everybody understand the motion?
Yeah, yeah.
No objections to the motion. Hearing none. So ordered. The carriers are needed, and it occurs to me that the chairman's concerning all the bills before full ways and means, precluding and depriving Representative Mitchell of his opportunity to carry these important bills to the full ways and means. Representative Mitchell, you shared this bill to the full ways and means. Thank you. So ordered. Meeting carriers for the Senate side.
Yeah.
Is this a C bill?
Yes, it is.
This is.
Senator Murphy, you see this?
No, I won't. I don't carry C bills.
Senator Mester. Here's my bipartisanship.
Well, not for that reason, but I'm not really on the second committee of this bill, so that would be appropriate. I'll carry it.
Well, I was the best volunteer, but Senator Corkin, since you have succeeded, yes, thank you, Senator Corkin will carry on the Senate floor.
I'll butcher it, but
the chair will speak to the bill. We are closed in the work session on House Bill 2162. We will proceed to House Bill 2102. And section is a legislative fiscal officer, and this relates to comprehensive fish passage.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. What is I have the materials being distributed to you at the moment. What they include is a staff make a summary from the Joint Committee on Stream Restoration and Species Recovery on the Age and Growth Bill. It does also have attached to it the fiscal impact statement on the Age and Growth Measure, which you'll note as Age and Growth, the bill directs the State Department of Fish and Wildlife to operate a comprehensive program to maintain, restore, and enhance fish passage at artificial in-channel dams or obstructions to migration, and it creates a fish passage task force. It also allows alternative mitigation measures that provide a net benefit to targeted fish populations and allows Fish and Wildlife Commission to maintain actions enjoining persons who violate fish passage requirements. The impact statement originally indicates that the cost of the inventory work that is included in the Angler's picture is in excess of $300,000. The cost to Department of Fish and Wildlife to staff the task force that's created and duties assigned would be $29,500. What you have in front of you also are the -A3 amendments attached to that as a hand and gross copy of the bill with the A3 amendments, which would delete the provision that the Department of Fish and Wildlife conduct an inventory and evaluation of dams and artificial obstructions that store 9.2 acre feet or more of water and are 10 feet or higher. By removing that particular portion, if that was the subcommittee's desire, you would reduce the fiscal impact to the cost for the agency of simply staffing the task force, which takes it down to $29,500.
Questions on the bill? Representative Kane.
I see the portion where we're talking about evaluation of certain dams and artificial obstructions to fish passage, but I would think that water flows are also relevant to fish passage. I'm wondering if that's going to be germane to what the task force mission will be.
Mr. Chair, we do have a couple of folks here, experts in public hearing, who might be able to speak to what the task force scope would encompass.
Call Mr. O'Leary and Ms. Lee. Substituting for the question from Representative King, will you restate your question, Representative?
I'm wondering if water flows can also be relevant to the task force mission in addition to evaluation of certain dams and artificial obstructions to fish passage.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative King, for the record, my name is Roy Elker. I'm from the committee this morning with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Program Manager for Fish Screening and Fish Passage in the department. Representative King, water flows themselves are Water Resources Department function. I guess I'm not quite the inventory of things needed was designed to look at comprehensively at probably what are in the hundreds of blockages of fish passage up into upper reaches of good habitat. I guess I need a little more detail on what you would like us, or what you would have liked us to look at in the inventory according to flows. Certainly flows would be something that would be, as an inventory process, we would look at flows after diversion.
Did that answer your question, Mr. Chairman?
I think the answer is, I don't know.
The issue before us is to take action or not to take action relative to the scope of the project. The deletion of Section 5 reduces the fiscal impact from $33,000 plus to $29,500.
$303,000.
I beg your pardon, $303,800. Any other person here present, Janley, would you like to address this bill, add to the public record in any way?
Yes, Janley, Oregon Water Resources Congress. I'd just like to say that the very broad task force you see identified in Section 4 has asked to be represented as approving this particular version of the bill and is in support of it.
We are in support of this particular version. Thank you. Senator Tarno has a question.
We've got Fish and Wildlife, Governor, Water Resources, Oregon County, cities, etc. on the staff with no legislators. How come, Mr.
Chairman, representative of the committee, Senator Tarno. Senator Tarno, I'm not sure why. I mean, the task force makeup was an issue during last session, as you're aware. I'm not sure why our legislators weren't added. I mean, we have welcomed them, I think, at meetings and invited them, I think, even on a few occasions, but I'm not sure why they were left off. And it may have been that everyone felt comfortable with the list as was.
How would it be, Mr.
Senator?
How would it be if we added some to this list, Mr. Arthur? And you recall the problems we had with the fish passage issue in Coos Bay? The other issues with living up and down at Milltown Hill, and there's going to be other issues that they have to deal with at some point.
Senator Mester, and then Representative King.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, actually, I think Senator Tarno's comment is very valid. It's not that sometimes legislators can, as you know, get in the way of the process, but since the legislature is so critical in seeing that the process actually works at the end of the day, that would probably be in the best interest of the task force, knowing how things work around here, that there was legislative representation. Lest there be any concern when the next assembly meets for some of the work that the fine work that would certainly be done by the task force, and I think that would be in the best interest of productive work.
Actually, Senator Mester, referencing your comment about legislators sometimes getting in the way of the process, Senator Corcoran,
I got rid of it.
I remember discussing, this issue during committee, and I'm not able to say for sure that discussion was on exactly this bill, but I think that it was. But we did have, extensive discussion of that. And my memory was that we had talked about having legislators on in a non-voting capacity, and that the final upshot of the discussion was that we didn't have any volunteers, one, and number two, that we felt that the non-voting capacity wasn't really helping, to the process. And so I think it was discussed at length in committee, and that we, intentionally left out, that part.
The bill requires the recommendations of the task force to be brought to the 71st legislative session, and perhaps it was the intention that process go on unimpeded, since the members would have a vote on any of the recommendations at any rate. But I agree with Senator Tarno. I think the it doesn't behoove agencies to go out and do these tasks for force and then have no ownership within the legislative body of the product, of the work product. It puts the agency in the position of having to go out and sell the work product to the legislative body, and sometimes we're not biased. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I certainly agree with the point. However, there's nothing in the bill that precludes the legislator may defend these sessions, and I suspect the reason that some of us don't attend when we have the opportunity is that time is eaten away by other obligations. If we do this, and were to amend it, and I would not oppose an amendment of that type, but if we were, we would understand that we are fighting into someone's interim time again when we do that.
Sure. And since Senator Tarno is the only one that's been admonished to go get a real job, just to see how the other obligations.
Senator Perkins is not here if I feel obligated to abuse the members.
I've had to be one on this committee.
I know that is the problem. Our colleagues, I see that Mr. Rollator back in the room. Did you want to add to the public record, Mr. Rollator, on House Bill 2102? Did you find out the testimony? If not, you can just sit back there. Thank you very much. Any other questions from the committee for this panel?
Mr. Chair.
Sir?
I don't disagree with Senator Connell's point at all. I'm wondering, though, in lieu of that, if we could put a budget note in that we should be informed, notified of all meetings and of all backup material that is agreed to.
Actually, this would normally fall under the purview of the Legislative Oversight Committee for examining bills and others, but would come to the SRC Committee. Okay. If that would deal with your concerns, Senator?
I think it
would.
Mr. Chair, this particular bill wouldn't have a budget note associated with it.
No money appropriated.
In particular, if you take out the inventory and evaluation of dams project, that does take it to a minimally fiscal measure. The subsection 3 on page 2 of the bill, which does remain, which talks about the task force responsibilities, it indicates that it will develop recommendations, including alternative mitigation requirements, to be presented to the 71st Legislative Assembly. Those recommendations, in my experience, is that when they come from interim work groups, when they're supposed to report back, typically go to the legislative committees that have the subject area. There's, as pointed out, that there's no preclusion for legislators to attend, and certainly statements that you make on the record here might give an indication of your interest in having that report include some legislative distribution.
Better than that. I see in the back of the room the Director of Fish and Wildlife, and I'd like to call him forward. In the meantime, Senator Nestor, your question is?
Can we make a conceptual amendment at this time in the Assembly since we're trying to do things on an expedited basis?
We can do, but we can also ask the Director to put on the public record that he would require the staff to make reports as requested to the appropriate Legislative Oversight Committee, and that may be sufficient. And then it would essentially be up to the staff of the SR2 Committee to invite the Director, who regularly appears before SR2 with staff, to also report on this task force's progress. And you can do that in the regular course of business.
Sure, that would certainly be one approach. The other approach I was going to suggest would be just on line 16 and 17 of page 2 of the bill, where it says, in addition to members of the task force set forth, the director shall also invite a representative of any federal agency affected by the fish way or fish passage requirement. One could simply ask, since this is an invitation, they also invite members of the Legislative Assembly. And then he can decide who's required to be on there, but puts in the language that they are invited.
An excellent suggestion, Senator Metzger. Let's talk to the director about recording. Would there be any problem with recording the progress of the Fish Passage Task Force to the appropriate Legislative Oversight Committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Jim Greer, Director of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. No, I don't think that would be any problem at all. We just simply make the announcements of when those meetings were occurring to be sure that the appropriate legislative body was put on their hand.
Keep Question, Representative King.
I appreciate that. My personal bias would be not to necessarily every 90 legislative member be invited, you know, to this meeting, but that it be, you know, to the committee. I think that would conform to the interest of people who are kind of bought in, and also might reduce some of the mileage expenses for this meeting.
Perhaps if you were to move conceptually, we could talk about notification of the appropriate legislative oversight committee, and we'll move the chairs to spread that horizontally through the membership.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Another option would be, if it's on the record, we talk to the directors. We could make a request. Whoever's on the oversight committee could make a direct request to the department. The department's going to be giving a report quarterly to the oversight committee anyway.
And I think that's far less cumbersome. We'll just add that to the list of stuff we want to hear. But, so let the record show that the suggestion from the co-chairs is that we invite the director to report, among other topics, on the efficient passage task force's progress. I think if you're satisfied with that,
I'm not sure. Yeah. Well, my only point is this chair is a
30-year-old. If you're around, you're going to get appointed to that committee.
Yeah.
Boy, you're not
going to
like it.
Well, my only point is that we have, as you know, a lot of committees working interim from citizen groups that work very hard on issues, and then they come to the legislature and basically ignore them because we have our own. And so I think that's a good approach, but I think there should be some ownership so that that work is received well and when it does come back to Salem.
Senator Metzger, I almost am compelled to say that nobody ignores constituents in this system. It just doesn't happen.
You know, based on Senator Metzger's deep interest in the subject, I'd like to propose some amendments that he include his legislator and then the Senator Metzger and the subject to rest.
Don't forget Senator Carmel either.
Is there any other person here present that wishes to add to the public record on House Bill 2102? And if not, we'll go to the work session there. And Dan Lee has the floor. Another rose between two thorns.
The funding for the inventory was taken out, but it's very critical that somehow we get a handle on what's out there, because to set the policy without knowing that it's going to be a great concern. So we're hopeful that if additional dollars come available for measures that can fix them, might be some way that the board or others could find a way to do this work.
So it sounds like a project that some enterprise or organization could apply for. And then let the OLED board make the decision about funding. Any other person that wishes to have a public record? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing with the work session. We're in work session on House Bill 2102. Recognize Representative Westland. Representative Westland, we have the A3.
Yes. I move the A3 amendment to the House Bill 2102.
Everybody understand the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Objections to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Westland.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2102 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Questions on the motion? Objections to the motion? If none, so ordered. We'll close the work session on 2102. It goes to full ways and means, right, with a due pass recommendation. Chair will carry to full ways and means. We need a Senate carrier. Senator Messing, would you carry on this one?
Sure.
And, Representative King, would you carry on?
Oh, absolutely.
Representative King, carrying on the yours. We're out of work session on this bill. We have one item before us before we conclude this morning, and about 6 minutes to conclude that item. And that is House Bill 2113. And I would call forward Christy. Do you want to give us a quick overview of House Bill 2113?
Good morning. My name is Christy. I'm from the Legislative Fiscal Office. House Bill 2113 would allow the Department of Forestry to receive and disperse donations to develop and operate the Tillamook Forest Interpretive Center. It would establish a trust fund which would be used solely for those donations, and all interest and other income would be credited to that fund. The money in the fund would be continuously appropriated to the department, either for the purposes specified in the donation or for forest interpretation and education purposes only. The bill originally was referred to agriculture and forestry, It passed the House 56-0, and then it was referred to Agriculture and Natural Resources, where it received the unanimous two-pass recommendation, which was referred to Ways and Means. Fiscally, the revenue, the department estimates that donation receipts would be about $100,000 in 9901, and it could be higher. The department is not expecting any expenditures in 9901.
Sounds like a fairly straightforward limitation bill, authorizing the receipt and disbursement of donation dollars. Mr. Brown, do you have anything to add to the public record?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jim Brown, the State Forester. Chris, you did a good job of describing the bill. We had discussed with you during the agency's budget overview, the Settlement Interpretive Center. This is largely set up to allow us to receive donated money and put that and set up an account within the Treasury to receive that money and earn interest on it, pending your future approval of any construction of that.
You asked Representative Rosansky to join our committee, and Representative Hobson, would make testimony if you were here, I'm sure.
She was in favor of the bill.
We're in public session.
Mr. Chair, you have opposition to this bill?
I don't believe there is, so. Thank
you, Mr. Chair. I was trying to ask this question yesterday at the other subs, and I didn't get that. Is this a manned, will this be a manned interpretive center, and what will the operational cost be? Have you stated that?
The interpretive center would be a manned facility. It would cost about $500,000 a year to operate, and it would be a buy-in to operate, and it would be paid for out of dedicated funds, not out of general fund dollars.
Thank you.
Representative King.
Could this facility be manned by a woman?
Yes, it
is. I knew that was coming.
We have staff. A couple of staff that are women that are currently working in the particular project area.
Representative Brzezinski, did you have questions or comments?
No, Senator, I'm just sitting in, keeping the good senator to my left company on the shining with a little board, and staff asked me to.
His attention
I'm grateful.
Been known to wander.
being a full service rep, I just wanted to help out.
We appreciate that. Where were you earlier today? It has been helpful.
After the record, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say that Senator Corcoran has never looked better.
Or taller. If there's no other person that wishes to add to the public record on House Bill 2113, we will go into a work session. We are in work session on House Bill 2113. Representative Westland.
Any amendments?
I believe there are no amendments.
No amendments. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 2113 to the full committee with a two-pass recommendation.
Any questions on the motion? Hearing and seeing none. Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing and seeing none. The chair will carry for the full Ways and Means. I need a Senate carrier.
How about Senator Dukes? I hate her.
Senator Dukes will carry in the Senate, and if Senator Dukes has objections to carrying, I need a volunteer. Senator Carno, would you carry if Senator Dukes has
objections?
So ordered, Representative Hobson would like to carry in the House. And if Representative Hobson not being here to defend herself, sorry, been to the House. Representative Hobson has denied the opportunity to be in the House, but she would have been given the opportunity that we needed to have carrier. That closes the work session on Matthew 2113. This is an extraordinarily efficient session. I appreciate all the members' help. Thank you very much, and we are in meeting tomorrow, Mr. Chair.
What is the schedule there?
After full meeting, we'll get a meeting. Thank you. And we'll announce that. Thank you, Representative Brzezinski, for joining us.